Very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. Thank you, Dr. David. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic. And now to the big one, to the big mic right here, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. We have just crossed now to the mighty region, the Oshana region. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us this morning, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. It's always, as I always said, it's always our pleasure, definitely, to be in your comedy, in your company. We love doing this, okay? We enjoy doing this, definitely. So our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8, and this is Unpacking the Day. So it's a bit cool today. It's cool morning this morning. It's a cool morning. It's because of the rain yesterday. It's a bit muddy, of course, because of the rain. But I would choose muddy, you know, over the heat, definitely. So a cool morning this morning. I don't know how long that's going to last. But I believe today it's going to be a little bit much cooler compared to other days. So yeah, hopefully it's look like it has moved somewhere else. We might not get rain today. It looks like it's moved somewhere else. We can take that. Yeah, we received ours yesterday. Hopefully it's going to come again some other time. But yes, good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. How are you doing this morning? And So welcome to Eagle FM and Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of these stories. So, welcome and a good morning to you. And thanks for joining us here on Eagle FM. So, today is the 9th of December. Today is the 9th of December. And, As usually, we start with our on this day in Africa. So today, the 9th of December, marks some important milestone in African histories. And in 1961, the mainland territory of Tanganyika, what later became the mainland part of Tanzania, shook off British colonial rule and became independent. And then exactly 1 year later, in 1962, Tanganyika adopted a republican constitution and transformed itself from a constitutional monarch under the British crown into a republic. And in 1974, on this day, the leaders of several African nationalist movements in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, so signed what became the United African National Council, a unified front to push for majority rule and liberation from the white minority government. So, and in 2016, on the same day, on 2016, a tragic tragedy struck in the town of Madagali in Nigeria. Two suicide bombers attack a crowded market. The twin bombing killed dozens of people and left many others injured. I think this is just a stark reminder of the persistent threat of militant violence in that part of Africa. So, and that's your look at on this day in Africa. So, all right. So, 8 minutes past the hour of eight. And what is our today's thought of the day, the 9th of December? So, cross the river in a crowd and the crocodile won't eat you. Cross the river in the crowd and the crocodile won't eat you. If you cross the river in a crowd, you're unlikely, the crocodile won't eat you. So the proverb is a metaphorical way of saying that there is a safety and strength in numbers. When people stick together, when people stick together, support one another, and face challenges as a group, they are far less likely to be harmed than if each tries to go it alone. So, in essence, this proverb encourages solidarity and teamwork as a way to overcome challenges. So, cross the river in a crowd, and the crocodile won't eat you. As you go your day today, as you go with your day today's, make sure that you cross the river in a crowd, which means stick together in what you do, in your choices that you make, and support one another. That would be, I think, that would help. That would actually helpful in facing the challenges, so and overcoming the challenges. So good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. So, what are we hoping? What are we looking for? What we have prepared for you this morning? What are we looking for today in the program? So, Namibia has the African Development Bank has just approved a massive funding package for Namibia, at $33.4 billion for our country. So we're going to look at that, and how is that money going to spend, and where this money is going to go. So we're going to look at that. It's a very important aspect. And then we also, yesterday, we couldn't go through the Recon Africa, which is a story in yesterday's village, in yesterday edition of the Village, of the Villager, not the Village, edition of the Villager. The Recon Africa announces hydrocarbon discovery in Namibia's Kavango West region. So if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. So there's another story we didn't cover yesterday, but if we have time, we're going to go through that as well. And remember, your participation always is also part of the show, of course. And thanks for joining us and for choosing us at this point in time. So we'll be back in a few minutes. A few seconds, actually.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yue yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. para omkwashi pareki wimopo yomo programa letu moambo dengera selma kona rahita tuimu datu datu heari hamano tano o niyaj Eagle FM
no matter where you are if you have a mobile device you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is your number one top. This is your number one talk radio stations. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. I will be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing the mic over to Tate Franz in Windhoek. So, welcome. So, and good morning. So, you are tuning in to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM where we take a deep dive into the news that shape our lives. From politics to economics to everything in between. All right, I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli, and today we are talking about a major development for our country's future. Now, the African Development Bank, the FDB, in short. Has just approved a massive funding package for Namibia, $33.4 billion for our country. So that's, when I'm looking at this, this is not a typo, okay? It's not a typo error or something like that. It's $33 billion, yeah? All right? That's quite a lot of money, $33.4 billion. Now, the headline says this money is to grow our economy, to create jobs and build infrastructure. So, but here, you know, here it's Unpacking the Day. You know what we do here. So we don't just read the headlines here. We ask the questions. We ask questions. How will this money be spent? And most importantly, will it actually change your life? Because this is money, you know, for you, I believe. This is money for you. This is money for us. So will it change? Will it actually change your life? So let's unpack this together. And good morning, welcome, if you're just joining us at this point in time. So why is this money coming to Namibia now? Well, I believe that's a good question to ask. Why do we need this money? Why is this money coming to Namibia right now? Now, the Africa Development Bank, well, it's not a charity. It's not a charity organization. It's not a charity. So we know that that's definitely, we're not getting this because we're a good country. So this is a development bank. And it invests where it sees potential. That's one thing. It's developed where it invests where it sees potential, but also where it sees the need. All right? Now, my friends, the need is painfully clear. Okay? In Namibia, the need is painfully clear. So, one, we are talking about youth unemployment. This is also something David was just talking about. So we're talking about a youth unemployment rate of over 40%, which means two out of every five young Namibians who want to work can't find a job. And that's not just statistic, my friend. That's not just statistic. That is a crisis. CRISS, you know, CRISSS. The competition, it's not a debate, is that where they the pronunciation. It's a competition of pronunciation. So this is a crisis. It's thousands of dreams. You know, when you think of that, it's really thousands of dreams postponed. You know, sitting at home, doing absolutely nothing. Well, it has rained. Well, it has rained. We shouldn't say they're doing nothing. It has rained now. Wherever you find yourself, whether, you know, in the south or north, west, you should be doing something now. So it has rained, and I believe it has rained all over the country. Spoken to a number of people yesterday, so different part of the country, it rained. So you must find yourself doing something. Now don't sit just at home doing nothing. use your certificate or diploma to a good use, okay? Something agricultural, you know, something agricultural at home, you know. So, all right. So, as I said, yeah. So, there's so much potential untapped. And the other thing is also, as we said, the need is painfully clear. That's why I said this. This developing bank, this Africa bank, it normally invests where it sees potential and also where it sees needs. And the need in Namibia, it's quite painfully clear. And it's not just the youth. It's also just not the youth. Our overall economic growth has slowed. So has slowed with per capita income dropping from per capita dropping from about 111,500 in 2012 to 79,500 in 2024. That's how the per capita income dropped. And this decline is definitely a red flag, signaling that things need to change. And that's also what, you know, things, what is that? What is the slogan, the mantra? Not as usual, what? Things are new. What is it? Yeah, today's not my day, seriously. So what is the mantra of the president? Unusual, today's... I'm completely blank. You know, what is there? What is normally she said? You know, unusual or what is it? It's unusual things. What? Okay. So you know what I'm trying to say. So, as I said, this is actually, as I said, it's signaling that things need to change. And this means that, you know, this is the urgency the president is actually talking about. So this is the backdrop against which this massive loan, it's actually a loan, this massive loan is being offered. As I said, this is not a charity. It's money that we need to pay back. Yeah, but it's a lifeline. We have to pay back. So the pressure is on to use it wisely. It's not, hey, guys, we love you. Here's the money. Nope, it's actually a loan, and we need to pay that back in 5 years. Actually, this is from now until it's going to be until 2030. So I think it's going to be given in parts until until 2030, not until Vision 2030. So the pressure is now is on. How it's on to use it wisely. Okay? So let's get into this actually. So what is the African Developing Bank plan? What is the plan actually to fix this? What is the plan actually to fix the problem? So now let's probably break it down one by one. So the African Developing Bank strategy is to build around two main pillars. Okay, pillar one is all about hard infrastructure. Okay, we're talking about road, railway, port, energy, and water. So that's pillar one. and the goal is to make it cheaper, you know, is to make it cheaper, to make it easier to do business in Namibia. So you need road, railway, port, energy, and water. These are kind of like what the president normally said, enablers, you know. These are enablers, so to make it cheaper and easier to do business in Namibia. So think about the price of food, like whether now you're in Chivarongo or in Katima. So the big part of that cost, is logistics. So you may find something when you're in Chivarongo, you're in Katima, you're in Opuo, the food might be expensive. It's because of roads, because of railways, because of ports, because of energy, because of water. So getting good there make it more expensive. So the better roads and the railway can directly also lower your groceries as well. It can also lower your grocery bills. So that's a focus. That's one pillar. That's one pillar, actually, hard infrastructure. Now, the big vision is to the other also. There's also a bigger vision, okay? So one is that, you know, part of that is a cost of logistic in a country, getting the goods there. And also that it should be in a very delivered, you know, on better roads, okay? And also on better logistics system. So now the bigger vision is to position Namibia as the regional logistic hub. You know, this is not, of course, it's not a new dream. We have been talking about it for years with the Wavish Bay port expansion, and. And this funding could be the final push. It could be the final push. We need now to truly connect ourselves to a landlocked giants like Zambia and the DRC and Botswana and also. So, and to better trade with Angola. Angola, of course, has port as well. But with other, if we also improve our railways and all that, you know. So, yeah, this could be the push we need. This could be the money we need to finally push truly and be able to connect to our landlocked giants as we, you know, countries like Zambia and DRC. So, and if you ever, if you ever tried to travel to, or trade for that matter, with neighboring countries like Angola or Zambia, you will know how important efficient roads are, you know. You will know how important efficient roads, ports, or railways are. So right now, logistic costs are too high. They are too high, and that's a barrier to economic growth. So, and this, as I said, this will be definitely a push, you know, for us to connect, to improve our logistic and become the regional logistic hub. Okay, so that's one pillar. That's hard infrastructure. That's one pillar, and with that also, that also fall right into what Namibia, you know, trying to do. So with better infrastructure, Namibia can take then also advantage of African Continental Free Trade Area. So because that's a challenge for not only for Namibia, but for many African countries. So yeah, which then when you have a better infrastructure, logistics, when you have better roads, railways, energy, water, and all that, as I said, that can, we can, as Namibia can take advantage of then Africa trade, the free trade area, the continental free trade area, which could open up new market for our goods. That's the idea. And also services, the services that we have and goods can open up a new market. And this actually aligned directly with our own national development plans, the NDP6 and Vision 2030, you know, and the African the African continental free trade area. So we are finally putting our money where our mouth is on the regional integrations. So, yep, we put our money where our mouth are. So, yeah, if this goes well, definitely that's going to be somehow a game changer, as they said. So hopefully the question is that, how are we going to spend that money, and who will, you know, who will actually make sure that, you know, we deliver. So now this focus on infrastructure will also strengthen Namibia's energy security. Our national goal is to push beyond 60% electricity access. And how can we, you know, I think that's a big question, that how can we industrialize or run business, for that matter, if half of the country is not on the grid, you know? So hopefully this also would then strengthen our energy security and really push to universal access to electricity, which we should have already achieved, because the idea was that already in 2020 or 2022, we should have already achieved that universal access to electricity. Everybody in the country should have been, you know, have access to electricity. So, but that's our national goal, is to then push beyond 60% electricity access. So hopefully that would also, as I said, strengthen our Namibia energy security as well. So, and also the focus on the renewable energy in this funding as well. There is also a focus on renewable energy, which tie beautifully into our green hydrogen ambitions. So, yeah, this money could be a catalyst that move us from talking about being a green energy leader to actually building the foundation for it. So, we're going to look at the second.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, we're talking about how much is that? $33.4 billion approved by African Developing Bank for Namibia. And as we're looking at where this money it's being invested, will be invested, it's in the one is an infrastructure, hard infrastructure. We're talking about road, railways, energy, water, and all those kind of hard infrastructure. But infrastructure alone won't fix everything, you know. Infrastructure alone won't fix everything. The second pillar is human capital development. Human capital development. This arguably, you know, even more important. This is about us, the people. So it's about human being, all right? Now, the plan focuses with this one, the plan, this pillar focuses on technical and vocational training, you know, the TVET, as we call it here in Namibia. Now, this is crucial, okay? It's very crucial, it's critical. We can build all the road in the world, you know, but if we don't have the trained mechanic, you know, mechanics, and we don't have the trained engineers, we don't have electricians, we don't have artisans to maintain them and to build the industry, that's sit beside them, so we will have failed, definitely. So we will actually require then other people coming from, like what we do now, we have more Chinese coming, you know, especially when it comes to building, you know, to building infrastructures. So we have other, you know, nationals or companies coming outside doing this work for us. So they see this as very important, as part of the whole, you know, of the whole plan, you know, that we need to improve our technical and vocational training. So that's the second pillar. So human capital development. So now the focus on linking education to employment is I think, and we have seen this, and we talked about this quite a number of times. I think that's the golden key, you know, where we're linking education to employment, and that's why we have so many people actually sitting at home. It's because of that kind of mismatch, you know. So it's about training, you know, welders for the green hydrogen project, not just theory for theory's sake. So it's about supporting small businesses, the SME, the MS, the MSMEs, which are, as we always said, the true backbone of our economy and the biggest potential creators of jobs. It's about that. And this is what loan, this funding is all about. And also a specific focus on promoting women, promoting women's economic participation. So for women to actually participate in the economy as well. And it's not just a good ethics. Well, you don't just look at it, it's a good ethic. It's a smart economic, actually. So you cannot grow an economy by leaving half of your population behind, because, you know, half of the population, it's women. So that's a smart economics. So the developing bank, the African Development Bank strategy is also focused on increasing women economic participation, something that will benefit both women and, of course, the broader economy. So, which is actually, I think, as I said, you cannot grow an economy by leaving your half of your population behind. Just as we focus on the youth, similar that your largest population is, it's women. So now the plan look good on paper. The plan looks good on paper, very good. But this is where we now we put on our critical thinking. You know, this is where we as critical thinkers here on Unpacking the Day, we have to put on our analytical hat, okay? Let's put on our analytical hat and look at where are the potential pitfalls, okay? Where are the potential pitfalls? And I'm going to strictly, you know, I'm going to look at, this is something that actually the president, and I'm going to, the pitfall of this whole thing, of this whole, you know, funding or plan is actually what the president said during the retreat, or the prime minister have said. And I'm going to focus on some of those, you know. So when we're talking about this amount of money, this big, you know, this massive money. So now let's look at where are the pitfalls, the potential pitfalls, the potential challenges. All right. First, this is an elephant in the room, which the president have talking about, governance and corruption. You know, governance and corruption. So this is something the president talked over the weekend, you know, the two-day retreat that took place. You know, if you think of this 33 billion Namibian dollar, it's a huge temptation. Yeah? It's a huge temptation. We have to ask, you know, do we have the system in place to ensure this money is spent transparently and effectively? I mean, we got the history. So do we have the system in place to ensure that this money is spent transparently and effectively. Well, we have Anti-Corruption Commission. Probably have also the Office of General, the Auditor General. So we have those. And we're definitely they will have their work cut out for really cut out for them, seriously. But as we know, we have policies, we have institutions, and also something that we know in Africa. But whatever system do we have, will the enforcement, the implementation has been always the problem. The reason why I'm asking is that do we have a system in place that ensure the word is ensure this money is spent transparently and effectively? Because we got a history, Mandy. We got a history. The reason why, sometimes the reason where we are in Namibia is not because we don't have money. We do have money. It's just the money is squandered, it's wasted, it's not well spent. The priorities maybe that we focus on, you know. So that sometimes is not that the country doesn't have money. Sometimes the reason is just that we don't spend it transparently, we don't spend it effectively. And that's why I'm asking. And this is also what the president is actually questioning in terms of, you know, if there are systems that actually are a barrier to service delivery, to effective implementation of policies or programs, you know, reform it. And she has been saying this. All right? So, and we the public, and we the media as well, must be extra vigilant as well. This is a lot of money, and this is money coming in our names, you know. Now, will the tender, for example, and that's another thing the Prime Minister has spoken about, the procurement, this Mr. Procurement, he said Mr. or Mrs. Procurement, you know. So the tenders, will the tenders with all that money coming in to do actually, because this is about infrastructure, we talk about roads, railways, and all this, water, you know, facilities, eh? So will the tenders be awarded fairly? We got the history. We got the history, guys. You know. Or will we see the same old patterns of, cronyism? You know, how do you call them? Cronyism? Yeah, cronyism. Will we see the same pattern of cronyism? The success of this entire project definitely hinges on some of this, on these single issues, because Mr. Procurement and Mrs. Procurement, or Mrs. or Mr. Procurement, one of could be a she as well. I think she says she, you know. Yeah, so now, as I said, the president talked about corruption, and that is treason, according to her. Second is debt. Remember, this is a loan. Okay, this is a loan, not a gift. This is not a gift from African Development Bank. It's a loan. All right? It will have to be repaid. It has to be repaid with interest. Yeah? So what are the terms? Maybe we need to know what are the terms. Is it concessional? Eh? Is it concession? It's concessional. Eh? With low interest, maybe. So we don't know. We got to know, because we don't want just to find ourselves after 5 years into, you know, into trouble. Is it concessional? Is it with low interest? Or will it add a heavy burden, you know, to our national debt, which future generation will have to shoulder? As I said, we don't want to find ourselves 20 years later, you know, our future generation will have to shoulder that. The government need to be crystal clear about this. And are we investing, or are we digging a deeper hole? are we investing or we are digging a very, very, very deep hole? And sometimes when we may dig ourselves into the deeper hole, but we can't get out anymore. Huh? Nobody's helping us. Yeah, you are too far. You're gone too deep. We can't reach you, you know. So there are countries getting there, you know. So the third, you know, the third, you know, pitfall. What I'm looking at is that I'm kind of like, are there potential pitfall with this whole thing, you know? The third pitfall is implementation. And again, this is something that, you know, the president and the prime minister during the retreat spoke about. And we have a history in Namibia and across Africa. Eh? Of our beautiful plan, gathering dust on shelf. The president talked about that as well. So the gap between, you know, strategy and execution is a canyon. Do you know what a fish river canyon? It's, you know. So then the president talk about, will the very, because talk about the ministries and the OMAs, you know, working in silos. Will the various ministry, work, education, finance, be able to coordinate effectively? Will the project start, for example, next year, will the project start on time in 2026, as promised? Or will we see delays, cost overruns, half-finished infrastructure? That has been always the case. And we're talking about a massive house. I mean, look at housing. Look at many, some of the, you know, road that were planned some years ago are still, you know, halfway done or not even started. Half-finished infrastructures. Our track record is really, it's really mixed, to say the least. Eh? So we have to ask these questions. We have to be aware of this question. We have to be vigilant. That's what I said. We citizens and the media have to be vigilant. And of course, the service delivery. Finally, trickle down, you know. How do we ensure that this massive investment, it doesn't just benefit, you know, big construction companies, which could be foreigners as well, you know. And of course, those who are involved, these few individuals, these connected individuals who sit in Windhoek most of the time. Eh? How do we ensure that? So, yeah, how does their mother, let's say for example, how does a mother in a village in the Zambezi region feel the impact of the new railway line? The plan mentioned expanding rural access to clean water. That is a direct impact. That's the direct impact that we want to see. So, but the job created must be accessible to the local communities where the projects are happening. So, and we must guard against a situation where the benefits are concentrated in areas and among only few people, as it has been always the case. Yeah? We must guard against that. We must guard against those situations. So where are we? Where does this leave us, actually? So this African Development Bank, this African Development Bank funding, it's a monumental opportunity. Honestly, it's a monumental opportunity. 33.4 billion. It's a monumental. It's a chance to finally tackle our twin demons of unemployment and stagnant economy diversification head on. So we have this stagnant, you know, economic diversifications. So it's a time now we can tackle unemployment, the demons that are actually, you know, haunting us for years now, and that stagnant economic diversification. We can do that now with this amount of money. so it aligns with our national goals, our regional ambitions, and the future of green economy. So it's aligned with what we want. But one thing that we have to understand that it's not a stick magic. It's not that magic stick, you know, where you just boom and the rabbit appear or disappear, you know. It's not a magic stick. It is a tool. Eh? It's not a magic stick. It's a tool. And what's a tool? You know when you have a tool? A tool is only as good as the hands that wield it, you know. It's just as good as the hand that wield it. So if you put this investment in the wrong hand, definitely you would expect, you know, nothing out of it. You know, the responsibility now falls on our government to be exemplary steward. You know what a steward is? You know, a steward of this trust. And the president also speak about that we are given power, you know, especially for the ruling party. So the people have entrusted us, you know, it's time to deliver. So it's a time now to be exemplary steward of the power and even the resources that have been trusted to you. So it falls on our civil society as well. And as I said, the media, to be watchdogs, we're going to be watchdog. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to be a watchdog of the economy, of the business that is happening, and all these policy things here. That's what we are. We are watchdog of that. Well, so, and we want you to be a watchdog as well. And it fall on us, the citizen, to stay informed. Stay informed. You can't be participate in discussion, in a conversation, when you are not informed. Stay informed. Eh? So, to ask question and to demand accountability. That's the most important thing. Demand accountability. So this could be, as they said, this could be the turning point we have been waiting for. It could be if we definitely, you know, do what is right. Or it could be a missed opportunity as well, like many other opportunities. You know, it could be a missed opportunity of historical proportion, if you want. You know, the difference between those two outcomes is us. It's definitely us. So let's continue the conversation. So what do you think? Is this a game changer? As normally people say, is it a game changer or a death trap? Is it another death trap? Call us. You can call it now. You can come through. Our telephone number 08333 66 091 08333 66 091. Your voice matter. So please do come through. Your opinion, your contribution, and your reaction. So 08333 66 091.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafasana Nana Longeshifa, yai, Shuika Moshiwana, e Moyao, or Tango Samweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka, Saitanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongeshifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefem Media House, Gue 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimwe. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Igele FM. Go ay.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, how are you?
I am good.
Are you quite busy?
Hey, we are in for it.
What?
I can only conclude, Kucha, this is a death threat again.
Okay. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that could make a big difference.
Let's always not having negative...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the questions remain. The very first question that I'm actually having is that, who owns the bank?
Which now, the African Development Bank?
You see, after 3 or 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, when I was following this, when I was doing research to try and find out exactly who owns, when you remember Namibia already got 10,000 USA dollar, which is already now, I think it's not yet finished, it's still being procured. So I was trying to find out exactly who owned the bank.
The African Development Bank?
Yeah, the African.
I think it's owned by...
The head gate of that African bank is in Nigeria, and then I think the chairperson or the person that is actually running the bank now is also in Nigeria. He's been running it now for almost 10 years or so because he was re-elected. Wherever it read me, it takes me to Asia, Japan, Asia Development Bank. And then it takes me to BlackRock, and then it takes me to Vanguard, and then State Street. Now BlackRock, all those companies that I actually mentioned there. Well, I am under the collection, under the lock collections, and this is according to my research. BlackRock, Vanguard at State Street. So people must go and make their research. The question is, again, the other question is, how are we going to invest this money? How are we going to make use of this money? What is the policy? Are we going to make the same usual policies that we had? That is now the question. Because for me, I know if this money had got a string with this company that I have mentioned here, then this money will come with their terms and conditions.
Of course, of course.
This money, I will only be happy if we get this money and say, look, we are going to build a refinery for this country. Or we are going to use this money to build a nuclear power station, because we definitely need energies. And our neighbors countries need energies also. In Zambia, there's a BlackRock, each and every, how do you call it?
So what they're saying here, I was looking up what is actually, who are the shareholders of the African Development Bank. So it's actually both African, 54 African country, as a shareholders. It's also 28 non-African countries as the shareholders as well. The largest of, as you were saying, the largest shareholders among African countries, Nigeria, with around 9% of voting power. That's the owners of the bank.
Who are the 28 nations?
Well, they're not nations.
But they are private entities, down.
Could be private entities, could be also countries,
But let's go back to the topic. As I am saying, if we did not invest this money in infrastructures that generate money for the country, or if we don't, if we have to build railways and roads, we have to make sure that 90% or 70% of this money, of these projects, are actually given by the Namibian peoples. The reason being that we want the profit of that money remains in the countries. That is what we want, so that we can be able to pay back this money. You know, we are these entities now are actually given names for purpose. But look at
what we're focusing on, what this focusing. Focus on the road, railways, port, energies, and water. Do we have the capacity, you know, do we have companies in Namibia that can be able to provide, that can be able to provide this services?
We have
We always said that. We have
those companies. You know, technologies and skills can be hired.
Yeah, that's true.
Money.
Yeah. That's true.
All that you need is money. You can buy that. You can hire that. You can hire the engineers and everything. You can do that. But under the Namibian company.
Yeah.
Namibian people must take centers of that. That is what we're talking. And this is the policy that was actually being used by the Tekuru Sema Nujoma. May his soul rest in peace. This is exactly the same. If we can make use of that. But what I am actually afraid of is the terms and conditions. Because these people, when they give the money, they make sure that this money does not... They can say, yes, this money is earmarked for road constructions, railway, and so on. But when the money comes,
yeah,
it's a different issue. But what I actually want me, Mike, from that money, it's only a nuclear power station so that we can have energies. And perhaps maybe we can see, okay, let's set up a refinery for lithiums or any other minerals that we are always shipping out of this country.
Yeah.
That is the thing. Let me give chance to others.
Yeah. No, thanks for coming, Drew.
Yeah. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
Benin. There has been a coup, right?
Yeah, attempted one. Yeah, which didn't succeed.
You heard that.
We talked about yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Do you know the countries that went and carried out the airstrikes in Benin?
When was that?
Do you know what countries?
I haven't heard that there were outside countries that actually come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Benin is part of ECOWAS.
Yeah, yeah.
Which countries the chairpersons of the ECOWAS? There's two countries, right? Nigeria.
Yeah.
In Senegal.
Yeah.
Now, Nigeria, they got calls, and then they carry out the airstrikes in Benin, across the border in Benin, under the shade of ECOWAS to prevent the coup. But the calls comes from France and America.
What actually happened, it took place in the capital, in Cotonou. So that's where the coup, the one who attempted the coup, they went to the house of the president, or the palace of the president. And that's where they were, some of them were captured. And the person who was in charge, Lieutenant Colonel Tigri or something, you know, was so still on large. He was not actually, you know, captured himself. So that was a small fraction of a group of four soldiers that were captured. You know.
There were other soldiers on their way. They were prevented with the airstrike from Nigeria.
Oh, okay. One I haven't. All right.
Now, why is Nigeria not taking airstrikes for the jihadis and the Boko Haram?
Well, that's a question in his own country.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. 0833-66-091. We're looking at a massive funding that's coming from the African Developing Bank, and the African Development Bank strategy is to build around two main pillars. One is the hard infrastructure, so the other one is human capital development. So yeah, and we look at some of the pitfalls. So in terms of this funding. So what is your take? What is, of course, your take on this one? 0833-66-091. A very good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, man?
Fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Good.
Mm.
Yeah. That is it.
Yeah.
It is important that we also align ourselves with a G20 declaration.
Yeah.
And not only those declarations, there have been many other declarations which we also need to ascribe unto in order for us to ensure that that money, whether it's the loan, whether it's the loan of concessions or any other,
yeah,
actually everybody is benefiting. So that equality and equity that's being spoken about in terms of funding and also restructuring those debt and loans with those multinational institutions. So now is this good deal, like IMF and many others, the World Bank, this is also a World Bank, right?
Yeah.
So even this African bank that you're talking about.
Yeah, this is African Development Bank, yeah.
African Development Bank is not immune to restructuring. And it's even best, actually, we are in the best position if those, the ownership, the shares and all these things are owned by the African.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very easy, especially Nigeria, which I'm hearing here from my brother there, because they have got they also have the capacity. They have the population, the youth, they have this population, they have even the education, the skills, personnel, yeah. They also have it. So now, if they are maybe they are holding, you mentioned about the number there, is it 54 or something?
No, it's 33.4 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, no problem. So this
that's massive money. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Yes. That is the reason.
And it can make a big, big, big difference. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm.
So now, if that is the case, the restructuring of debt and all equity and diversity that you're talking about, inclusion, which is also denied, but these ones are rejected by the U.S., and that will not stop you from going forward. If somebody can reject diversity and inclusion, what does that tell you? The good thing is that here we are dealing with multilateralism now.
Yeah.
The measures, the policies that are coming and the programming that are coming in place. Is to make sure that, yes, you can withdraw your funding. You can do these things, and people are suffering. Whether it's the one that you are giving aid, is still appreciated here in Africa, because you know that for you to address the historical imbalances or inequalities, you still have to start with that one. And to address these things is to diversify even the economic activities. There is for your social policies and other things to include the inclusions that nobody should be left behind. What is our slogan here?
not business as usual. Oh, I got it now. Not business as usual.
Those are renewal, actually, and that nobody should be left behind.
Yeah,
that is the slogan that we have been hearing from since that time, and we are hearing it at the global stage. But we see now the I don't know whether it's part of protection or still a demonstration or protest, which will really have some effect, but it will not deter, prevent the continent or the world to go on and start working together in partnership. So now, I'm just raising this point because diversity is very crucial and you have been mentioning it.
Yeah.
So now, yesterday I was listening to David Sombe.
Yeah.
And then he's speaking the same issue, even Helmut. They're all speaking at the same thing. I don't know how God connected their spirit with the ones that were talking about some big money, FNB, wealth, and what is it? Wealth and what is the other point?
Yeah.
Wealth and investment.
Mm.
So now these are some of the emerging opportunities that we need to think about. And we need to capitalize on those kind of opportunities. I understand the withdrawal or whatever fund and all these things, it is going to impact seriously, negative impact on the social issues, social grant, social living of our people and things like that, even in many other countries.
Yeah.
So the security cluster will help if you stabilize it, like the brother asked there, is to prevent those things. The, you know, the, what happened to the way I'm observing and looking at how the world is shifting into this multi, what, multilateralism and whatever. You can see France coming in there. You just mentioned about France and the UK. Is it the brother? I don't know who mentioned that.
Yeah.
People want to stabilize the environment, the world, to make sure that all these things have come to pass. So for us in Namibia here, as we appropriate, you know, because we need to appropriate this declaration and all these other things to our own situation here. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So once we appropriate these things, the constructions, the water infrastructure, we have heard from the report from the African Development Bank saying that we do not have the capacity in terms of water infrastructure and many, many of those big things.
Yeah.
We need to convince and have that conviction spirit to make sure that where are we coming in?
Yeah, so where actually we don't need just to convince. We, this is what the president actually talking. He said we need to implement because that has been the disease, not only for Namibia but for Africa. We need to enforce the law. We need to enforce the policies. We need to enforce. We need to implement. That's what our people need, you know?
Those, you know, you see, the policy and acts,
yeah,
when you are structuring these things, when you want to make sure that you are including everyone, so there are existing policies and acts and all these legal instruments that are there, which also need to be translated into action.
Yeah.
But there are those that are coming with the restructuring.
Yeah.
When the banks here, Namibia, are restructuring their when they are doing their review on their loans restructuring to fit our needs.
As I said, as the president has been emphasizing this, restructure, reform, so that we, if there's anything, if any policies or programs that are in the way of delivery, reform, restructure those. Those are the things that the president is talking. Yeah.
All what we need to do maybe just to make sure that the code of conduct, the ethical leadership and management issues, that those considerations have to be taken into serious account, because there are individuals who are actually tarnishing the image of some of those institutions that are there.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's why they had a retreat. You know, that was a retreat where they have OMAS, you know, where now... And
OMAS, they have the retreat.
Yeah, they were everybody was there. Was on there.
So, I like that word that you have just mentioned. It used to be my favorite thing, because that now is a stakeholder consultation and all these other things, and review and implementation plan, action plan, and all these other things. I think let's buy in what the president is, the president's vision, so that we can promote it. We identify the areas, I'm concluding now with this one, we identify the areas or economic sectors that we think have got the potential to really transform our society.
Yeah.
To make sure that, yes, in terms of the security, we are up and running. Mm. So there are a lot of issues, especially you mentioned about especially the ruling party. And the ruling parties, and especially those liberation movements, they are the targets of the imperialists, the new colonialism.
Yeah.
If you are not careful in terms of renewing and making sure that even the political education come in seriously, so that we have some kind of patriotism. So what is happening in West Africa? France must come in. And the reason why France must come in here is because of some kind of intercultural issues. You know, West Africa, France, and all these things.
Yeah.
And they are both, and you know, they are very serious when it, they are very deliberate when it comes to making sure that economic, all these social inclusions, diversity of economic activities and even in politics. You know, G20 has got to all those things. When you say G20, so you're actually integrating all the areas of life.
All right, Uncle Bona.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
God bless. Mm.
08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. We're talking the massive 33.4 billion funding to Namibia from the African Developing Bank. And remember, you know, that, you know, a tool, that money, it's a tool, okay? It's not a magic stick. I said earlier on, it's not a magic stick that we just boom and it solves our problem. It's a tool. It's a tool, and a tool is only as good as the hands that wield it, okay? As the hand that wield it. So it depending on in whose hands that would be. And we also have to be, you know, this is something that we, wherever you are, you must be a steward. You know what a steward? You know, every wherever you are, you have influence. Sometimes we don't believe that we have influence, but we do. You do have influence. You do have actually influence. You can always influence the person next to you and the next page. You know what called the circle of influence? You know, you can only influence the people around you, the people in your circle. And some people in your circle have a bigger circle. You understand? So your circle could be small and you can only influence this one. And this one has a bigger circle, but it's in your part. It's part of your circle. So the one that has a bigger circle, learn something from you. You have influenced them. And then from there, they influence who the next person. They influence the other people that are in their circle. And that goes until it gets to, you know, to the right people. So that's what we need to do. You have influence. You got to be a steward, you know, in the development of and the growth and economic growth and development of our country. You have got to be a steward. You know, you have a responsibility wherever you are. It's not just about, we have this kind of things where we're looking just to the government. The government this, the government this. Yes, they are the custodian of our development. But hold them accountable. Demand accountability. If you don't demand accountability, you know, that's why people do whatever they want. Eh? They do whatever they want. No consequences. No firing. No anything. So because we are so lofty, we not holding anybody accountable as citizens as well. So that's one thing that we, you and I, have a responsibility as well. All right. So, and that's why I always said, stay informed, ask questions, and demand accountability. All right? So, 08-333-66, you are allowed to come in, your reaction and your comment on this massive funding. So, all right. So, your voice matter to come through. 08-333-66-091. If you don't, after this, we get into our second story.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, your go-to show for diving deep into the biggest stories making headlines around the country and the continent and the world. So, with me, Michael Chiavelli, and at this point, we're going to unpack, are going to pack some big news from the energy sector that could impact Namibia's future as well in a way we might not even realize yet, okay? So now, this past week, and this is a story in yesterday's. If you were subscribed to the Villager, so you probably have read the story already. But if you haven't, make sure that you do subscribe to the Villager. All right. Before we get into that, let's go to the caller quickly. And good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
Good.
Yeah.
The loan.
Yep.
Yeah, we are grabbing opportunity. Because I don't see it that it really makes sense, because they're including the railway line on their project.
Yeah.
On this $1.7 billion, but they had in 2013. In October, they are profiting 190.
Yeah,
196 million for railway purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
What is really making sense?
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. No, it doesn't really make sense into telling the people. And railway line in Namibia, it doesn't make money.
Mm.
Because if you look at the
it's a logistic that would facilitate further investment, probably.
Yeah, but you know the country that we're supposed to make money out of it is Angola.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's why our founding president wanted to reach Oshikango, Wamba administration came in, so the relationship...
They abandoned the project.
Yeah, they abandoned the project, and the relationship also sometimes. So those are now the things that you can't tell, because we are adapting something that is not needed in Namibia. Because other countries, yes, they need the railway line because of their road. But as our road is good because of the bridge that we have constructed in a very proper way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you cannot tell me that, Opuo is doing very well in business, let us put the railway line there. What are you transporting there?
Mm.
So those are the issues that it doesn't really make much. And if you look at the trucks that we are having comparing to other countries, it's not make sense for you to bring a train.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of companies that are owning trucks.
But there must be some kind of agreement between country. Let's say, for example, between Zambia and Namibia. Let's say if you build the railway from Grootfontein to, to Katima, there must be also a probably a railway from, I don't know what is the next town from Zambia.
Livingstone.
Yeah. So from there to, so that there's a connection, you know, there's that network, railway network connections. Yes. So otherwise, if you build from this side and on the other side, you know, nothing, it doesn't help much, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because if you look at those Serbian countries with the Canadian Canada trucks, they need a railway line, but for them now it looks like the trucks they are a lot.
Yeah.
So there is no demanding of saying, you know, our goods are stacking on the border or whatever it is. They are always moving it.
Yeah, so they don't see the need of railways.
Yeah. That is something needed urgently, as it's sounding now to say, let us putting up that. And Namibian, I comparing now the 33 billion comparing to the 45 that was initiated by mass housing and what.
Yeah.
So if you look at that, that mass housing was having 10 years for term, right?
Mm.
So, and this one is 5 years.
This is 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, to be honest, if you are a good advisor to the Minister of Finance, it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Because you paid back, you paid the loan for 700 million. Yeah, and the money that we're supposed to using on those projects. And pay and continue paying interest, because you are still having this one which is also needing to pay interest.
Yeah.
You see that? So there is nothing that is making sense into the business person. Maybe it's for the government, but for the business person, it doesn't make sense. And we are not investing money in the project in that is profitable the government. And that's where the problem. That's why Angola ran away from us, because he thought that we wanted to invest in a little and he wanted to own the resources, their resources, so which they are working hard into having in hand. But if we could invest in that 715 to Robito refinery, we could be having maybe 10 or 5%, because if you look at that, the shareholder of that Robito refinery, it's just Zambia and the strategy investment group, which is an American company. So in Angola, we're investing about 960 million, which is still shorted $3 billion US dollar. So in that one, it could be boosting your country to make profit out of it.
Yeah.
And here now, we are talking about water that we can even funding with our own budget. And there are maybe electricity, because housing is the one that is can profiting this government. If they could be having a good structure for national housing enterprises, that is that. Yeah, because most of people, they are trapping because of the capital money. How do we call it this?
Which one?
The controlling of this commercial bank. Because commercial bank doesn't want to reducing the price of the houses in this country. So, and that is why now people end up living on those shacks because of that. But if the government funding maybe with 20 billion out of that loan, it could become down.
Yeah.
And then the modern of those houses for the commercial bank will be owned by those who are affording it.
Who are affording, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So those are the things that I don't see any really. That's why I'm saying, we don't have investors in this country, I mean, advisors in this country. So we are just in people that is grabbing opportunity. The loan is easy to get.
It is. If it fits into their requirement.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's easy, because as we have a lot of resources. That
yeah, of course. I'm Namibia has much resources.
Yeah, we are avenged by those scavengers.
Mm.
So we have a lot. And development bank itself, look at what we did. They refusing to fund Arica Dagosa with 2.2 billion.
Mm.
They were refusing.
Mm.
But now you are giving Namibia 1.7 It doesn't make sense. That one is a profitable, and that guy is a Nigerian even. He knows that he's profiting his country.
Yeah.
But he was refusing. And starting demanding high stake in the refinery. So those are the problems that it doesn't make sense if you're asking this guy that, why are you giving us to putting us in a problem while the profitable project that was happening in your country, you didn't want it to fund. Mm. You know, so it's already something different here. That's what I'm saying. Even that Khawakab is also not doing very unique, as he said. You cannot pay back a loan and you're allowing the government to getting another loan.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
No. The interest is still the same. The most of the success loan takers that are making profit out of it, they are continuing paying, renewing their loan with interest.
Yeah.
They are continuing paying because it's a lifetime thing. You cannot learn out of it if you want to be successful.
Mm.
So anyway, Mike, let me not eat up.
All right, no, thanks.
That is what I'm saying.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
You're welcome.
Mm. A very good morning to you. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, good morning.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, como está?
Bom, obrigado.
You are not, I can't hear you, man.
Agora, now?
Yeah, now I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay.
So, good morning, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine.
Hmm.
A sua porcento, seu povo, faz a vida crescer, é muito importante.
Muito importante, eh?
Muito importante. A sua povo faz o seu povo crescer. Ser o povo é muito bom.
Yeah.
You know this deal of the Nigerians. I'm on my own view, I'm not quite happy with the contract we are. I think it's how many years they gave you?
For which one?
No, for the Agota, something like that. The yes, I still is like something that fish is not. Right, the way it was implemented. But let me go to this money the way you are talking about.
Yeah, the funding that we're getting from the development bank.
Mm. Yeah, I also support the last caller.
Yeah,
to say if you want minimizing the poverty in the country.
Yeah.
Start with housing. Yeah, because if you give somebody like a house or electricity and water, you know, we are so talented to create businesses.
Mm. Just hold on for a second, eh? Just we've got a quick commercial and then you can continue.
All right.
Mbayari leo nda nai etetawe dhako ombuni kilo ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatani na wina ikare na matha kumurungu wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondengu ukuura kwe imba una oviune dhia peke kwa ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwezi toho tuika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Kumyeze umurongo na ivari moshimariva itoro rera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro imba owa maoronga neno uyebu haka enina itako na wina rishangita
All right.
Yeah, so you know the infrastructure, is something also play a big role in economy of elevate the economy of the country.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have this kind of thing, it's difficult for you to do better. Now, if you come with a housing issue, and also the price is too high, why our house is so expensive in our country.
Mm.
Now, even if you don't have a payslip, it's difficult for you to own a house. But if you do look back and see how they will play it safe and good, then in doing so, giving somebody a house, you are really minimizing the poverty in the country because these guys, they are so talented. They can come up with anything, you know.
Yeah.
Now, they can come up with anything. And if you have a good road, a good house, and good infrastructure, even somebody like you think about almost the investor, they'll come and say, I want to put something here. Then we are negotiating.
Yeah.
You can make money. Now, for you, if you don't have a house. It's difficult even for you to get a loan in a bank. It's very difficult. You won't even qualify. It's difficult to value. So if you do, you minimize the house price to come down, and anybody can afford to buy a house. You know, I'm a Namibian, but I'd never work for a government, for whatever company which pay me well. But so meaning I don't deserve to live in the house.
Yeah.
While we have we are independent, they should create a system. We support these ghettos. We have a lot of ghettos in our country. Because if you go in there right now, you find any door. These people are busy doing their business, and they never even bother to come to government and knocking doors. The government to say give me a job, because they're making money. The problem they have is the electricity and the water. They don't have. Now you must get a line for electricity. You are paying even 1,000 something. It's a lot of money. So if you create a system which will minimize this kind of house we have, doing so, you are already putting money in the economy of the country, because I'm having water, I'm having electricity, I'm paying every month by municipality. By doing so, I'm already also playing a big role in the economy of the country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, only when it comes to house, we are too far. We are climbing too high. We need really to come down and think about the next generation who are coming tomorrow. Now, if you go like this location, you are stay there for too long. And which I will disappoint you, is like that. Yes, maybe that night you are there. For example, in Kuriangava, but talk about Monique. The electricity and water coming from Babylon.
Yeah.
And where did you pass? How did that thing pass by me going to that site? And if we are working like a four-way stop, who comes first? You must wait for those who the one you find in the stop, so you can go. But what's happening now in the country? You find like development going to Havana. Havana, Maluka, and Dama, the man. The autonomous Kandama Kulu, you have old locations here, people are still, they are getting old in poverty. You go to Babylon, some of the locations, this first location, Ombiri. You find people who are getting older, Tafiemunu, Navavona, Tangome, Bashu, or Mongova, Tamegela, but then he's always going to the north, leaving his grandkids in the same situation. While we are seeing money everywhere flying around. No.
Yeah.
They should come up and see, start with a four-way stop. Omalukanda, Makuwa, Eshena, Longo, Okujo, Mabenduka, whatever city, or Shakati, whatever, elevate them. Shashi, Antamoni, Hunamami.
Yeah.
People are really suffering. You come with this kind of the health issue. People are really, really, really in the big. You find somebody, you can't even smile anymore. You come to the city, you are talking alone in the robots. Because of what? Because you have issue to say, how am I going to sleep with my kids? You know, for example, if you go to some houses, you find people are there in that house, 10 or 6 or 7.
Yeah.
We are sleeping like dogs, like cats. You find that I'm sleeping in the bed, the two kids are sleeping in the floor, and the other one sleeping there, but here we are saying independent, we have money flowing around.
Yeah.
I'm just happy for this leadership of Menetumbo, focusing where we did not did well. Maybe they will come up with a new system which I will give people at least a decent house, man. Oh, now go home, papa, and money, honey.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. All right. No, thank you for coming through.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, that's what also the president was talking about, that the trickling down, the how do we ensure. Then the question is, how do we ensure that this massive investment, it doesn't just benefit big construction? That's the question I ask. It doesn't just benefit big construction companies and a few connected individuals in Windhoek or in this big, you know. So, yeah, I think you get a point there. Very good morning.
Mike, allow me just 40 seconds.
Please, quick, yeah.
20 seconds. I know people do come back and they definitely come back to like Friday. They are whatever they have said.
Just make your point quickly.
Let me say muito obrigado
to my dear friend there who was talking about, you see, the railway infrastructure, we must really, it is a priority. So it is trading, transactions, and all these things. Even when you talk about the housing, the materials, how are you going to transport them? And we are already complaining about the road fatality here, accident, caused by majorly, one of the major causes, trucks who are damaging the roads, who are doing all these things, a lot of confusion. So those corridors that are established, those structures of road, railway corridors, road corridors that are being constructed, and the agreement are being entered into. If you have a railway connection that comes from Namibia, go to Angola, Botswana, all these Rubito corridors and many, many other corridors. Now you have rehabilitated our ports, those countries, Zambia, Zimbabwe.
And actually, this is not the African Development Bank is the bank that can be able to actually fund both countries. Like they can fund Namibia, they can fund Angola for that network, you know, the corridors that you're talking about.
That's why you have the current president, Nemonesumbo Ndaitwa, that time when they were signing up some kind of bilateral agreement and technical agreement with Zambia and all these things. Tate Mutora was there when he was Minister of Transport and the acting Prime Minister. Are we not, can't we appreciate and promote these efforts?
Yeah.
And the reason why they are doing that, why? It's because they want to make sure that their connectivity in terms of trading, Africa, continental free trade, and many, many others, how are you going to transport their equipment and materials?
All right, Duncan Buena.
Please.
All right. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Time is about 39 minutes past 9. And we go up to 10 o'clock when we hand over the mic to the Wintuk studio, and specifically when we Kuthamosha will take over from in 20 minutes time. All right, so yeah, let me go through this. I don't want to, you know, not do this. It's a very important discovery that we were looking at. As I said, it's also a story that's actually covered in our villager, in the villager. Yeah, so yeah, this past week, a Canadian oil gas exploration company, Recon Africa, made a major announcement about the new discoveries they have made in Namibia's Kavango West region. Now, what have they found? Okay, what is that they found? In a simple terms, oil and gas, definitely oil and gas. And but what does, maybe what we can look at, what does that mean for Namibia and both today and down the line? So yeah, let's just quickly look at that. Now, so here what we know, okay? This is what we know so far. The Recon Africa has been exploring the Otavi carbonate reservoir in the Kavango West region, which is actually situated near the town of Rundu. Now, they began drilling in mid-2024, and just this past week, they have confirmed the discovery of a significant quantity of oil and gas. And this is a huge deal for two reasons. It's a huge deal for two reasons. First,
of course, it put Namibia on the global energy. We're already there. It put Namibia on a global energy map. Second, it raises a lot of question about how we as a country should now move forward. Okay? So, but before we dive into the implication, let's talk about what Recon Africa actually found. They drilled well that, according to the company president, Brian Reinstorbroch, yielded promising results. All right? So, yeah, this means that they have found a resource that, with further testing and production, could be extracted and sold for profit. But it's still early days. They are planning to conduct more tests early next year to see how much oil and gas can actually be produced from this discovery. So now for the big question. Now the big question is, what does this really mean for Namibia? Well, the government and investor are really excited, of course. And for a good reason why they're excited. So Namibia already has offshore oil. We already have an offshore oil discovery, like Total Energy Venice project. So we have already offshore oil. So, but onshore, onshore drilling could mean, this could mean faster development, more local jobs and local costs compared to the deep sea operations. This is onshore compared to the offshore oil discoveries, and I think this could be a faster development compared to the offshore. So yeah, if we talk about the numbers, the Ministry of Mines and Energy estimate that oil and gas could actually contribute up to $60 billion Namibian dollar to our GDP within a decade. If managed well, that's always if. There's always that big if, and that's a huge, and that's really, really huge. It means more revenue for the government. When it's more revenue for the government, means we are now able to have revenue for hospitals, for schools, for infrastructure, the infrastructure that we're talking about. And we're talking about how do we gonna pay the interest of the money that we're borrowing, the money that we're loaning. So this could contribute to our GDP. So it should be an exciting, but as we said, the testing will still come next year to see if this is profitable or viable or commercial. So that still come. That could be also mean job, not just engineer for, engineers, but for drivers, cooks, security, local suppliers. If it's onshore, so you will have all these, drivers, taxi drivers, cooks, security, local suppliers. So and that could also mean industrial growth as well. Think refineries, maybe, pipelines. Eh? So you would definitely have pipelines and maybe even exporting neighbors. So, yeah, this is exciting, but we still have to wait. And I always said there's always a but, does this mean now the money? And this is always the question. And this is what we're asking, and this is what we want. This is what the government probably want. But maybe it's just difficult. How do we trickle, down to the ordinary Namibians? Because we can tell. I mean, we have seen in other countries, we have seen in other African countries like Nigeria and Angola, that oil wealth often benefit a few elites. It's only benefit a few elite, while living community polluted, of course, and poor. So that's a legit question. It's a legit question of how this, money from this oil and gas, how will that trickle down to ordinary Namibians? So it's not just something we have to take it for granted. Oh, we have all these resources now, everything will be. No, we have a example right here. Example of African countries right here. You know, it's not only African countries, but, you know, so where these resources are. But there is booming, there aren't booming, there aren't, you know, flourishing communities. You know, actually it's worse. Eh? Because their community has been polluted. So what is the difference here? What would be the difference here? But we have laws. Yes, Namibia has got laws. Like the Petroleum Exploration and Production Act, you know, of 1991. And we have the National Equitable Economic Empowerment Framework, the NEEF, you know. So in theory, we have the law. Okay? So these ensures local participation and fair benefits. In theory, those things are there. And you remember our disease. Remember what the president says and the prime minister said. Implementation. I don't know. Maybe I need to, they need to consult me, okay? And they need to consult me to actually give them the strategy of implementation. So, no, I'm serious, you know. Yeah, so, now, seriously, so, but you, as I said, we have these policies, we have these laws. Will they work in practice? That's our next question. Will they work? Eh? Will they be enforced? Eh? Now, let's flip the coin, okay? So while the economic promises sounds great, okay, we cannot ignore also the risk, okay? The risk that is especially for Kavango environment and people, okay? So now, first, the Kavango Basin is ecologically sensitive. You know, it's close to Okavango Delta, you know, Okavango Delta, and UNESCO World Heritage Site, and the lifeline for wildlife and farming and tourism. So one have, as I said, let's just flip that. What are the risks that would involve? Drilling means, if you have to understand, drilling means water contamination. You know, fracking and oil spills could poison underground aquifer. So that's a possibility. So do we have laws and do we have people that really well invested, who knows how to, that we make sure that it doesn't happen. Deforestation, that could be also happen. Clearing land for wells and pipeline, it normally disrupts the ecosystem. The climate impact, yeah, banning fossil fuel, conflict with Namibia national climate change strategy. So which aims to cut emission. Let's get to the caller. Good morning. Welcome to Unpack.
Yes, good morning, Mike, again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can now conclude that since our president attended the
retreat,
General Assembly, in the United States.
Yeah.
And then the first argument that she put ahead was that we need a reform for monetary system.
Yeah.
And then again, when she attended the G20,
yeah,
that is the same point she raised again.
Yeah.
I think all countries must press on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we can be independent, but you are not sovereign because you don't control the means of your economy.
Mm.
And as I always say,
in honesty, and sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves, we are not government, we can speak openly. Are we sovereign?
We are not. We are not. And this is what most people does not understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are not. So we can talk about oils and gas that is actually government. But when we are talking in our world of today, I mean in the world of us, the democracy world, countries like Namibia, when we talk about oils, we are talking about a finished product.
Yeah.
Where is it finished?
Mm.
It's actually found in your countries, but it will go outside your country somewhere else and then come back finished already. That means once it's coming back, you have to buy it.
Yeah, oil still, I mean, oil will still be expensive for us, even if we produce it.
Yeah, can one now say that is going to raise the GDPs of the country?
In terms of, it would, because the record, you know, of what you're producing is in the country, you know, it would raise, but it won't change any development. You understand?
Yeah, that is the thing.
Yeah. So it won't trickle down to, you know, to a lady buying, I mean, selling okapana and somewhere in Katutura. So
no, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, the numbers
might not give an economical impact.
Impact, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
As we say, so, and we see that in Angola, we see that in Nigeria. So
of course, we have seen it. And this is where we are saying, but if you go in other countries, in the other part of the world,
yeah,
these commodities that play an important role in those countries' economy.
Yeah.
Now we have to ask ourselves, how is that possible that these commodities play an important role when it comes to those countries' economy?
Exactly.
And not the same way in our country.
It's also possible. It's not something that is not possible entirely. You know, I mean, we can just look at the other countries, Saudi Arabia, we can look at Qatar, we can look at, you know. Yeah, so it is possible. Yeah, it just depends how we do it. We could be manipulated in the way we... It depends who we...
No. We are different. We are differ when it comes to Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Yeah. You need to understand that Saudi Arabia itself is the center or is the foundations of the petrodollar. You understand that?
Yeah.
That is one thing that you need to understand, that the reason why the American dollar is so powerful is because it's aligned with the value of the oils.
Yeah.
They call it petrodollar. That is where the USA dollar happened to be the world's currency reserve. You see? That is where, in 1971, ask your supervisor, he knows that story very well.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But the France, yeah. Because we were talking about it with him one day.
Yeah.
You see, that is where they send. We need to find out, because when we are talking about oils and gas, we are talking about finished product. But before finished product, there are other important products that are also critical to economies that we don't count when we talk about oils in our country.
There's so many from oil and gas, yeah.
Yeah, this is the problem.
Yeah.
And how are we being defined by those people who comes and rips us apart? How are we defined?
Yeah, my friend, this is also linked very well to what we're talking about. What we're talking about of this funding, you know, which is focused, it has two pillars. One is the infrastructure, the other one is actually the capital, human capital development. When you don't have the infrastructure, for example, and you don't have the human capital, you will depend on the other country, and all what you do is giving your resources away. They will come and just, you know, dig it out, extract it, and then ship it away. Yeah.
So exactly that.
And I think this
exactly,
funding...
Exactly. Yeah. And this is where we are saying we are not sovereigns, because we don't control our monetary systems.
Exactly.
You don't have a bargaining power. You just don't have that. When you don't control the means of your economy, that means automatically you don't have a bargaining power.
You don't.
That is the biggest problems that countries in Africa have to fight for. I understand our president now, and I gave her 100%. And when she comes up and said, look, we need a nuclear power stations, we need a refinery, we know what kind of pressure are they getting behind things.
Yeah.
We know behind the scenes what is happening, but we have to pressure that. The president have to make use of the populations, that my peoples are demanding this. You have to...
And sometime, to be able to do this, I'm not saying you have to go military like that. I'm saying you have to go the Traore way, not in terms of military, you know, but in terms of doing things that, you know, these multinational companies wouldn't agree, but you do it anyway. You understand?
Yeah, and I understand. And then the other way, I think, is also to make use of your own people. When you make people's rallies behind, tell them to demand that these are the people that want. They say, I did not re-elect myself. Yeah. My people demand that. That would be better.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and if you can see, if you can look at it on the other directions, you could also see this is the same scenario that Traore used, because he had his whole nation's rallies behind him. Everything he comes up with, his people support him.
Yeah.
So you have got no way to come in another way to say, no, he's what and what.
Yeah, this is
and
what
we know
want.
Exactly... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a world of ours,
yeah.
the Westerners or those that control the means of the economies in our world, they don't care if you are a dictator to your peoples. What the case about is that you serve their interests.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that they actually care about.
Hmm.
The money that, you see, when I came in the first times, I told you that we took 10,000 USA dollars, 10 billion USA dollars.
It's 10
that was actually earmarked for agriculture.
Yeah.
If you go around the government farmers, there are cars of Ministry of Agriculture. Some of them are written NAMSIPA.
NAMSIPA?
NAMSIPA, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go there, you find the tractors are standing there. Sorry, and they are not even used.
Yeah.
They have been there for 4 years, 3 years. 2019, that's when they started rolling out that project.
Mm.
But if you maybe have to go and try and find out what they have done, I definitely don't think there is something that is actually being done. And this is where we say... sometimes this money comes with strings, conditions attached. That you do this and you don't do this.
Mm.
Right
now. And sometimes it's just that, you know, the proposals, the plans are done in Windhoek, in the boardroom, and it never really reflects the reality. And when it comes to now implementation, people on the ground have no idea what is need to be done. You know?
No, exactly.
Exactly. So it's get all these consultants, come up with a different, you know, with these beautiful plans, and then submit to a developing bank, to African Development Bank, and the developing bank says, well, this is a good, you know, this is a good strategy or good plan, a good program, and then you are funded. But the people on the ground have no. First of all, they don't have the skill. You know, they don't have the competence and they have no clue because they never participated. And what you have actually want to do, it doesn't reflect the reality of the people that you want to support or the community that you want to, you know, to change.
Of course, yeah. That is also one one aspect that the government really needs to paddle on that in order for them to improve services when it comes to those people that actually in the road.
It's always top-bottom, rather bottom-top, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but I'm telling you, we are in for it.
Yeah.
The money is actually channels purposely in order so that it can be used to hold us hostage. And those who actually give us the money does not care that we set up infrastructures that improve our living standard or that will generate monies, because the main aim of that money is to hold us hostages, and when other governments comes and say, look, we need this and this, they are going to use this money as a bargaining chip and say, look, you owe us, you rather pay it or we are not going to give you. So you need to be free, because these are not really a lot of money countries like Namibia.
No,
we can take that money and then within 10 years we can pay that money. But the problem is that we have got no sovereign.
Yeah,
that is the biggest problem. So people have to study and find out exactly what exactly are we saying when we are saying that when it comes to monetary systems.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through.
Okay, bye.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen and others, that definitely brings us to the
end of our Unpacking the Day's editions or episode today. So make sure that you book your seat tomorrow morning from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Okay, we're handing over now to Tate France, crossing over to Windhoek for Kuthamosha. From me, Michael Chiavelli, until tomorrow, man. Let's do that again. And thank you for those who participate on the show this morning, who contributed. And this is what the show is all about. And thank you for doing that and continue to do that. So thank you, and let's do this again tomorrow on your favorite station, Eagle FM. Some from me, Mike Oshavadi. Until then, goodbye for now.